of your Bibles, would you open up to the book of Jonah, chapter 1? How many brought their Bibles to church this morning? Amen. Some of you don't know, but you carry a Bible everywhere with you. You got your iPhone and or your Samsung or whatever you got going on, and you have access to the Word of God all the time. But I would encourage us as a church to bring a Bible to church. You can follow along. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, many of us are familiar with the history of the man named Jonah. We've heard the story. We've read the story many, many times. For some, the story's new. In Jonah chapter 1, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah. A call, a command, a commission, a mission. Jonah 1 verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out." The voice reads, "Get up and go to that powerful and notorious city of Nineveh. Call out my message." The word of the Lord came to Jonah. And when the word of the Lord comes to us, just like it came to Jonah, calling us to arise and go, there are only three options of response. Stay seated, arise and go, run and flee. The word of the Lord comes to every life. It may come like it did to Jonah, calling us to arise and go and call out his message to a people, to a neighbor, to a family member, to a coworker. It may come calling us to arise and go from where we are seated or stationed to the place or a place that God is calling us to. It might be the place of holiness, the place of purity, the place of prayer, the place where his people gather, the place of surrender, the place beyond our comfort, the place beyond our decided borders, the place beyond our pride, the place beyond our fear, the place beyond our understanding. The word of the Lord comes. And when the word comes, there are only three options. We stay seated, we arise and go, or we run and flee. At the word of the Lord, Jonah ran. Out of the three options, he picked run. Jonah 1, verses 1 to 3 reads, "One day the word of the Eternal One came to the prophet Jonah. His word was, 'Get up and go to that powerful and notorious city of Nineveh. Call out my message against it, because the wickedness of its people has come to my attention.'" In hearing those instructions, Jonah got up and ran toward Tarshish from the Eternal's presence. He went down to the port at Joppa and found a ship bound for Tarshish. He climbed aboard, he paid the fare, and made himself comfortable in the hold of the ship. Now, I don't know if he thought this through, but what I do know is we are not that different from Jonah. There is something in man that makes him pick run. When the word of the Lord comes to a life, when the word of the Lord is preached, when we read the word of the Lord, sometimes, oftentimes, there is inside man this decision to pick run rather than arise and go. Or stay seated. There's something in man that picks run. When the word of the Lord comes, why do people run? Because people run, number one, from things they don't want to do. People run from things they don't want to do. Jonah chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. We're going to take this account in this morning. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What's your country, and of what people are you?" And so he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. It's so true that people run from things they don't want to do. They try and find a way out. They run to the docks. They'll even pay to not do what they don't want to do. There's something in the heart of man that decides to run, wants to run. They'll even pay to not do that which they don't want to do. I remember this is an old story, probably shared it with the young adults. How many like washing dishes? Anyone here? All right. The dishwasher probably washes it for you, so that's all right. Why not? I remember years and years ago at my auntie and uncle's house, and it was my cousin's turn to wash dishes, and he came to my other cousin and I and said, "I'll pay you to wash the dishes." He didn't want to wash them. "Well, how much?" "Well, $5. I said, "All right." We both said, "All right." We went ahead, and at the end, he went and got a little doll out of the room and ripped $5 out and gave us each $5. You gotta listen close, don't you? And so he paid us to do what he didn't want to do. We didn't end up getting paid in real money anyways. But it's so true that people run, and people run from things that they don't want to do. They'll run to the docks to find some ship. They'll climb aboard and get comfortable, and in their comfort, sail away from the Lord. Now, did Jonah really think he was getting away? Did he really think he could get away from God? Psalm 139, verse 7 reads, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" The message reads, "Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight?" The CEB, "Where can I go to escape your presence?" And here we are, Jonah 1, verse 3. The NLT reads, "He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. When the word of the Lord comes to us, are we off running from the things we don't want to do? People run, number two, from things they fear doing. They run from things they don't want to do, and they run from things they fear doing. Fear can drive us to the unthinkable. Fear can cause us to do some crazy things. Fear can send us running from obedience to the word of the Lord. Fear can run us to the docks and empty our pockets. Fear can run us to the hold of some ship, whatever the ship represents this morning, because fear seeks comfort. He ran down to the docks. The word of the Lord comes. He heads to the docks. He finds a ship. He finds what he thinks is a way out, a means of escape. God's not going to find me. Heads down into the hold of the ship, makes himself real comfortable, and falls asleep. Fear seeks comfort. You imagine walking into the city of Nineveh to preach, declare the word of the Lord against that place. Wow. What a call. What a mission. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oftentimes when the word of the Lord comes to us, fear also shows up. Like even right at the same time. Or the word of the Lord comes, he's doing something radical in his service, and we walk out the door, and there's fear asking us out for lunch. When the word of the Lord comes, fear shows up. You see, fear comes to cripple us or to send us running. Fear comes to stop us because it does not want us to arise and go. It does not want us to respond to the word of God and walk out and answer the call, fulfill the command, and see the mission through. Fear comes because it does not want us to obey. It does not want us to cross its boundaries. The boundaries of fear. We all have fears in our life, I'm sure. Maybe some of them are really silly. Like scared of the dark or things like that. But those things, when you think about it, they cripple us, they hinder us. They hold us back. We're to be free of fear. Not to walk in fear. And when the word of the Lord comes, to cast off that fear. For the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, so we know it's not his spirit, but of power. To walk it out. To fulfill the call. Have we ever run from something we feared doing? Maybe it's as simple as sharing the message of Jesus with someone. Going to a place we fear visiting. Being used of God. Taking a stand for righteousness. It could be leading our families according to Christ. There's so many things. People run from things they fear doing. Psalm 34, verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Spirit of the Lord is here this morning. to break fear off of our lives. Fear that has caused us to run, to head to the docks. Fear that has crippled us. Fear that has driven us from the call. Spirit of the Lord comes. Fear that has bound us. Fear that has us caged. The Spirit of the Lord is here. People run from things they don't want to do. People run from things they fear doing. People run, number three, from things they just don't understand. Psalm 119, verse 144, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Give me understanding, Lord, and I shall live. Psalm 119, verse 169, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. If there is something we don't understand, let's ask the Lord for understanding. Let's go to God. Let's not take off and run away. When he calls us to something that we might fear doing or we don't want to do, let's not arise and flee. Let's arise and go according to the call of God. And if we don't understand it, let's call on him. And even as we walk out in faith, even as we step out and head to our Nineveh, let's be a people that cry out even in the journey, each step of the way, that God would grant us understanding according to his word. But let's be obedient to the word. Let's be obedient to his call, to his command, to his mission. Jonah ran. And he made it to the docks, and he found his ship. Maybe we're here this morning, and we've run. And we've made it to the docks, and we've found our ship. Whatever that represents this morning. He ran. He made it to the docks. He paid the fare. He actually paid to get away from the presence of the Lord. I wonder how much it cost him. He paid to get away from the call, the mission, the command of the Lord. He paid his way. He went aboard the ship, and then he got comfortable. Wake up, O sleeper. He ran away from the call of God. I don't know if he thought this through. I don't think it was about to play out as he thought it would. He thought, I'm all right in here. I've paid the fare. I'm safe. I got mariners up on deck doing their thing. It's all looked after. Headed on a holiday. Sleeping in his comfort, God shows up. See, God was there all along, but God showed up on the water. What caused this storm? Are you ready? A man on the run. What caused this great tempest? A man on the run. What caused all the confusion and all the hustle and all the insanity that went on that ship? I can only imagine. A man on the run. A man sleeping down in the hold of the ship that had run away from the presence of God. A man on the run. Jonah 1, verses 10 to 17. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may become calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Wow. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You know, the grace of God met Jonah on the water. The grace of God met Jonah on the water. This great tempest that came, it came to pull him from his slumber, to wake him in his hour of comfort. And as he's tossed overboard and into the sea, God sends a great fish. And sometimes we look at that fish as the judgment of the Lord, but it's the grace of God. By the grace of God, this fish came and swallowed Jonah, that Jonah might make things right with God and commit to answer the call and to walk on to his Nineveh. God comes after those that are running. That's beautiful. He'll meet us on the water of our rebellion. He'll meet us on the water of our lack of understanding, the water where fear has driven us to. God will come to wake us. Jonah didn't sleep on that day. Maybe he wanted to, I don't know. Maybe the mariners brought him to his senses. Woke him up. It's amazing that some can sleep through the storm. Sleep right through the tempest. Unless they're aroused. The grace of God met Jonah on the water. And this morning, the grace of God comes to meet every man and woman on the run. The tempest and the great fish, God was after Jonah. God wouldn't let him go. His grace awoke him in his comfort. And this morning, would you allow the grace of God to wake you? Would we allow the grace of God to wake us in our comfort? Whatever that is this morning. Whatever the reason we've ended up in the belly of that fish, would we allow the grace of God to minister to our lives? Would we come to the place where we cry out and we repent? Would we come to the place where we commit once again to head out and follow and to listen and to be obedient? Whatever the reason for our run, if it's something we don't want to do or something we fear doing or something we just don't understand, God is here today to meet us on the water. Let's have the team return this morning. I'm so thankful for the grace of God. I know that looking back, Jonah was thankful for the storm and the fish, the provision of grace that God had prepared for him. I know that I'm thankful. And I pray that God would wake us in our comfort. That he'd wake us with his tempest. That we'd respond to the call. Imagine getting throwing into raging waters. Imagine sinking to the depths. Imagine being swallowed by a great fish. Imagine 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish. And maybe we're here this morning and we don't have to imagine, because it's where we are. The grace of God is here for those that have run to the docks and paid their way to escape and comfort. The grace of God is here for those that have run from things they don't want to do. The grace of God is here for those that have run from things they fear doing. The grace of God is here for those that have run from things they don't understand. God is here to meet with us, to meet with people. There's something in the heart of man, like I said, that causes man to run. Initial response. Let's not run. Let's not run from the message or from the call. Let's run with the message and for the call. Let's run hard after what God has called us to do. Recognize and receive His grace. Repent. With desperate cries, call on God and arise and go to your Nineveh. The salvation of people hinges on our obedience. In a lot of cases. In some cases. But I don't know what God is calling you to this morning. What He's called you to do. See, some people run from even things like tithing. A lot of people run from tithing. They don't want to. They fear doing it. Isn't that true? How are we going to make it? They fear doing it, so they run from it. Or they don't understand it. What does that really mean? And so they run. We could go down the list. That's a real practical one. Actually, it's very spiritual as well. But we can run from things that we just don't get. We can come into a worship service and encounter the felt presence of God and run from it because we just don't understand what's going on. So many things. Let's stand this morning. We're just going to sing this Spirit of God. Fall fresh on us. We're going to open the altars this morning. If you need to come and get right with God, would you come? If He's called you to something and you just want to take that step as a commitment and say, Lord, I'm going. I'm going to my Nineveh. Come this morning. Let's just lift this up. Call on God. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We so desperately need Your presence, God.